Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I'm Bhuvana, and I'm presenting much of the work that Abhinav and Stan did as they couldn't be here today. So I'll try to keep it as high level as possible in trying to explain to you how we went about training a large-scale exponential language model. This is my... Is that better? So this is the outline of the talk. I'll begin with an introduction and a motivation as to why Model M is a religion in IBM, and I'll move on to the two main components which make the computation of Model M extremely computationally expensive and memory hog, and go on to some of the ideas we had for distributed training and how much gain we got in memory and speed or by using these ideas. So just to give a very brief overview, everyone knows what exponential n-gram models are and the power and the ability to capture really complex dependencies. These were first introduced way back in 96 and subsequently again in 2002. So the definition really goes as, given a set of target symbols y and input symbols x, you can formulate the exponential language model in the following way, where you see a numerator term, which is a summation over all features which are active, and a denominator term, which we refer to as the normalization sum computation, which goes over an additional summation over all the target outputs. So x is the history and y is the target. And now you can imagine on a large-scale corpus how extremely computationally intensive this is going to be. So for a typical exponential n-gram model where n equals 3, you can think of three histories, the null history, the unigram, and the bigram history. And parameter estimation in an exponential model basically has many objective functions or variations of regularizations around the basic objective function. And the one that we're used to and we formulated is of this following form, with an L1 and L2 regularization component, and for some choice of alpha and sigma, which are determined magically on a held-out set. Training these parameters, there are a whole class of iterative update algorithms, and basically it's a comparison of the expected feature counts to the observed counts, and you update the parameters accordingly. So there you see the expression for the expected feature count, and you see a summation term over your training data, D, which can be represented as a sequence of histories and target labels. If you look at the reference that I have there from Malouf in 2002, you'll find an exhaustive comparison of various iterative update algorithms and their advantages and disadvantages and so on. What we use internally is a generalized iterative scaling algorithm we've implemented. So you heard about Model M from our previous speaker, introduced in 2009 by Stan Chen. It basically has the following form, which is think of it as a combination of two exponential n-gram models. And what we've seen is it consistently outperforms any other language model and gives us one of the best results. And we've been seeing 5% relative across a wide range of domains and tasks and large corpora as well. Let's talk about Model M in this particular formulation where you have like a three along the lines of the exponential n-gram model where n equals 3. So the key thing to note here is you have a class model and a word model, both of which can be estimated independently, while the class model has a history dependence on the previous classes as well as the words. The word model has this little term CJ sitting here, which is the predicted class of the word, of the current word J that you're trying to predict. So the two n-gram models can be trained independently of each other, and we know that Model M, we've shown, has significant performance improvement, but then we know it comes with a steep computational cost. So typically something like a 30 hours of computation is required for a typical training data set of 100 million words, and it consumes memory of like 10 gigabytes. So this is something that we want to reduce if you want to scale to billions of words, as is common in many of the tasks today, such as voice search, or you can think of any kind of large-scale broadcast news type task. So there are two parts which we worked on in this engineering approach to improving the parallelization and fast computation. The first one I'm going to talk about is the normalization sum, and then I'll come to the feature computation. Before we go to the parallelization, we'll talk about some efficient computation of these two components. First, consider the case where you remember in the previous slides the formulation of the norm sum computation. Consider two event histories, X1 and X2, and if you were to compute a differential of those two histories, the expression would look like something like this. And here, the alpha term is just a summation over all of the features that are actually alive. Now, think of very infrequent words. The only case where this feature is going to be really active is that of the unigram feature case. For most cases, you will find alpha 1 equals alpha 2. So if you could efficiently order all your histories and n-grams in a manner in which you're reduced to small differential computations, then the whole process becomes very efficient. And so the key idea here is to sort the corpus in a lexicographical way such that consecutive histories differ only in small number of words. And what this does for you, it reduces the number of target words over which you have to sum over the final normalization sum computation. So what is this lexicographic sorting? All we're doing is to make sure same words in position one are occurring first, and then the same words in position two are occurring next. And it's sort of like a nested history clustering. So you have your bigram, unigram, and empty history, and you can visualize the whole thing as a prefix tree, where you have the null history at the root node, and then all of the sorted event histories are children of that node, and each n-gram is a new event, and you can tie them all up at the root node. And when you do this, you're basically assigning, if you were to assign unique IDs to these event histories, all the lower order n-grams will get lower IDs and the higher order ones will get higher IDs. So when you do your differential computation that I talked about earlier, you're only going to sum differentials over a small number of items. So your computation cost comes down, and later on we'll talk about the memory as well. This is basically what I just covered, so the differential can be computed efficiently. So once you have the event history sorted, you have one more step, which is to sum over all the events. Now you can do the same lexicographic sorting at the n-gram event level as well. And when you do that, the only two items you keep track of are the alpha values and the norm sum values, which is the summation of alpha over all the target symbols you're interested in. And when you move from one event history to the next, you only want to identify the feature histories that are differ. And this comes down to our sorting again, because then you know that the lower order histories have lower order unique IDs, and they're really only going to differ in the higher order terms. And so this differential becomes zero for all the lower order histories and exists only for the higher order ones. So it's just an efficient way of storing your histories and your target symbols, such that your denominator term in the exponential model can be computed efficiently. Now, once you do this, this sort of spills over to the expectation computation of the features as well, because you can rewrite that numerator term as just this alpha divided by z. And you already computed z very effectively so far. So if you were to consider a case in the numerator term for the expectation computation, where you have a sequence of histories, D1, D2, and you wrote the whole expression out this way. If you have one element in the event history which can be shared for it's the same target Y, then this expression reduces to the alpha term coming out and just the second term remaining. And what this means is this becomes independent of Y, and you can share this across multiple target symbols. So the sorting of event histories that you did earlier in the norm sum computation was such that only a few of the alpha terms changes, and because of this, you got some good advantages in the computation, and it also spilled over to the expectation computation, where it just reduces to a multiplication, if you will, of your running total that you kept so far of the norm sum. You multiplied it by the alpha term, which also you only computed only for those event histories that changed. So that's what we point out here, that it becomes a very efficient computation of the numerator term. So once we have both the numerator and the denominator, the parameter updates in an exponential language model become very efficient, and you have well-known algorithms that exist to do this kind of iterative scaling. At this point, I want to talk a little bit about the prior art here. This sort of lexicographic sorting was introduced by Lafferty in 95, and it's one of the bases that we use for this efficient computation, both for norm sum and expected feature computations. And Jun Wu and Kudanpur in 2002 and 2000 used a similar prefix tree traversal type algorithm. But the differences between their work and our work are they sort of used a propagation, if you will, of norm sum terms from lower order to higher order n-grams, and the expectations from higher order to lower order n-grams. So computational complexity-wise, these two algorithms, that one we talked about and what they proposed, would be similar, except that our formulation is much simpler, and it relies purely on something as simple as sorting the corpus. And we only compute the differentials, and again, we don't need to store all of this in memory. We only need to keep just the differentials in memory, so you don't have to store all of the n-gram features. And given that this is a simpler formulation, you can think of sharing information across multiple sets of n-gram features, like the class prediction model that we have. We have two exponential models in Model M. So these are the sort of key differences between the prior art that's been proposed. Now, how do you do it practically? So far, we talked about an efficient computation. Now we want to say, how can you parallelize this? The norm sum computation can, so you can do it in two ways. One where you take your target vocabulary and you split it across machines, or one when you take your actual corpus and each machine computes over all your target vocabulary, but only on a limited portion of the corpus. So let's take the first case where it's the target vocabulary split. Then the norm sum can be computed by summing the normalization terms over each vocabulary partition. So what happens here is the expectation computation also gets split perfectly by splitting the target words across each machine. But what you would need to do is you would need to merge all these partial normalization terms at the end of one computation and broadcast it back so each one of the slave nodes can do the subsequent computation. So you would need to merge the norm sums in this case. Now, if you go to the case of where you split by corpus, you're splitting part of the corpus across different machines. So while you can do the norm sum computation on a single machine and no merge is required, for the expectation parts, you would need to make sure that they have the right normalization terms. So either way, you have to have some sort of communications between slaves and masters. But now you have a combination of our prior efficient computation and the parallelization we talked about. So together, they seem to work very well in reducing the memory and the time, computational time. So in this table, we show how if you were to do a direct implementation where you took no shortcuts, the computation time in seconds for a typical HUP4 corpus with 1.5 million words is going to be like of the order of 4,000 seconds. Unigram caching is something that everybody does, so that significantly brings the time down. And we can reduce that even further with our proposed approach, which comes down to just 6 seconds. So this is a neat way to do the exponential model computation. The results I'll show you now are on the English HUP4 system. This is the training corpus is about 300 million words with an 80K vocabulary. And the number of features that are alive for the class portion of the exponential model and for the word portion of the model are roughly 238 million and 276 million. If you take the comparison with the Arabic Gale system, which also we have results on, that is about 1.6 billion words, and you see, oops. Sorry about that. And you see roughly how much more number of histories and are alive for the class and the word-based models. So here we give you an idea of the memory required during training. You see on all the four models, the class and the word for English as well as Arabic Gale. The x-axis talks about how much memory per node is consumed, and the y-axis is basically what happens as the number of nodes increases as you parallelize further. So you, as expected, you see a nice drop in the amount of memory consumed, and what this means is you can train something with billions of words in a day as opposed to where, earlier where it was taking like weeks to do this. This is just the numbers written out. And if you talk about training time, our computational time is also significantly reduced. You go down from a single case of something like 250 hours down to, when you parallelize it with just 20 machines, you're down to like about 50 hours. So that's a nice improvement we get in training time as well as in memory. So there is also related work on parallelization, and there are many threads that are being pursued in the literature. Originally in 96, it was introduced as a theoretical result on how you can parallelize n-grams. Distributed language model computation has since then been pursued from both Ahmed and Brandt from 2007. And further on, authors have investigated how you can do maximum entropy-based models in a distributed environment as well. So this work is along the lines of these two, and we've shown how you can efficiently implement this computation. Just some notes on computational costs. We've used unnormalized iterative scaling here, and you see details in the 2009 paper. But there are other choices you can do, such as conjugate gradient, LBFGS, and RPROP, and we didn't compare exactly how our parameter estimation goes with this, but you can envision all of these as additional improvements that you could potentially get. Now, the timing results are also based on a strict convergence criteria. We used a very tight convergence criteria. Now, you could probably relax this a little depending on the task and get further improvement. The computational cost is both a function of number of unique features and unique histories. And in a typical case, we process like 1.2 million unique n-grams per second with 5 compute nodes. Now, this can vary drastically across tasks, whether it's a broadcast news task or a conversational task and so on. So again, the relative gain you get will depend on the task. But it, basically, if you don't do this, the possibility of scaling to a large corpus becomes almost impossible. So to conclude, we have an efficient training algorithm for exponential n-gram models, which we believe we can extend to other types of features thrown in the Model M framework. And on addition, on top of this, if you were to parallelize it, either on as a target vocabulary subset or as a data subset, then you can lead to efficient use of memory as well as better computational costs. And if you were to split across data, you can increase it a lot more than you can if you were to just split the target vocabulary. And that's all I have.
Questions for questions for Bhuvana?
Maybe I could have a simple question, which is not related to distributed training, but it is related to maximum entropy language modeling. My question is, did you use feature pruning in Model M?
Yes, the results I presented here were without any pruning, but we have numbers with pruning, feature pruning, and we find that we absolutely don't take much of a hit unless you go to pruning those features like below 50%.
Based on what criteria the feature is pruned?
So that's another paper. But we have tried a variety of pruning methods, some of them which are simply based on threshold on counting. Okay. Some of them basically extending n-gram pruning methodologies to the exponential n-gram framework of Model M, and they all seem to work in a similar way. So we have another forthcoming paper.
Thank you.
We have time for another question.